Plus 49.
Sean ustedes muy bienvenidos to another edition of Plus 49. My name is Sigrid Arteaga. I am glad to have you with us for another round of stories, voices, and insights from the heart of the expat life and international life here in Germany. Today's show is packed. We're joined by Kate and Tapas, the duo behind Relatable, a new app designed to help you handle relationship conflicts with more calm, clarity, and dare we say, compassion. We know we all bring our baggage into conversations, and they are here to share tools for unpacking it. In the new sections, we're diving into a growing but often overlooked group in Germany's healthcare system: migrant workers in care professions. And on the cultural side, we're taking bicycles not just as a way to get around, but also as a window into Germany's urban identity. So grab a drink, get comfy, and stay with us. This is Plus 49, and we're just getting started. Let's get into this week's top stories in Germany. From urgent healthcare reforms and hopeful UK-AU updates to the challenges of feeling at home in Germany's biggest cities. First up, there's promising news for international healthcare workers. Germany's private care sector is calling on the government to speed up the recognition process for foreign trained nurses and caregivers. Right now, many skilled professionals, even those with the right degrees and language skills, are stuck waiting around 500 days before they can even start working. The Federal Association of Private Providers of Social Services is pushing for what they call Kompetenzenvermutung, or presumptions of competence. This means qualified nurses could begin working immediately, while their official paperwork gets sorted later. It's a smart, low-cost fix that could bring over 11,000 trained professionals into jobs right away. And great news for expats aiming to work in healthcare. Switching gears to international relations, the UK and EU have unveiled a revamped post-Brexit deal, aiming to ease travel, work, and study between the two. Brits may soon be able to use e-gates at EU airports again. Erasmus is back, and new youth visa schemes are on the horizon. For expats in Germany, this could mean fewer bureaucratic hurdles when moving between the UK and Europe. On a very different note, a recent international survey has put a spotlight on how welcoming Germany's biggest cities really are. München ranked as the least friendly city for expats. But weirdly enough, Berlin, Hamburg, and Frankfurt also didn't score well when it comes to integration and making social connections. So settling in might take just a little extra patience, or a lot of patience. Finally, here's a green idea from Berlin. Inspired by Copenhagen, the city plans to reward visitors who arrive by train with perks like free bike rentals or discounted museum tickets. This is a win for the environment and, of course, to your wallet. If you thought Germany was just about fast cars, well, think again, because it is also a serious cycling nation. Nearly every resident owns a bike and gets them stolen once in a while. And cycling isn't just a way to get around. It is a growing lifestyle and culture here. Over the last few years, cycling in Germany has shifted beyond practical transport. It's become a popular leisure activity, a way to explore nature, meet friends, and stay fit. This rise in bikes use has sparked the creation of more dedicated bike lanes, long-distance routes, and even bike-friendly hotels and rental shops catering to riders. Cities like Berlin have taken this trend seriously, especially since the pandemic. Berlin added over 25 kilometers of temporary bike lanes, many now permanent, encouraging people to choose cycling over cars. An exciting project called the Radbahn even offers a covered bike path along a railway line, making cycling comfortable year-round, rain or shine. Mostly rain, let's face it. But this isn't just a German thing. Across Europe, cycling is booming. Cities from Amsterdam and Copenhagen, which are already known as cycling capitals, to Barcelona and Paris, are pushing for greener, healthier urban mobility. Programs like public bike rentals and improved infrastructure are part of bigger sustainability plans, like the European Green Deal, aiming to reduce traffic and pollution. Back in Germany, to ride safely, your bike needs to meet certain equipment standards, such as lights, reflectors, brakes, and a bell. You have heard the bell before you have ever heard anything else. You will find well-marked bike lanes that you should use when available. And if you're in a pedestrian zone, it is polite and required to walk your bike through. And of course, no cycling on the autobahn. You can also know as a pedestrian, do not ever step on a bike marked lane because you will get very rude shouting. So try to avoid that as well. One quirky but important point. Germans take cycling rules seriously, including signaling your turns and never riding drunk. So if you've been out for a few beers, better push your bike home or call a taxi. But just remember where you left it, because otherwise your bike will end up in any random location and you will never find it again. And that's why in cities like Berlin, you see all of these bikes that are rusting and they're old and nobody takes them because basically somebody forgot about it and because probably they were drunk and now the bikes are there. But in other areas, such as bike theft, which is of course a reality here, investigating in a good lock or insurance is also very smart for you to have in order to get a nice bike. All in all, cycling in Germany is about much more than rules. It's part of a cultural shift towards healthier, greener living, and it's an easy way for expats to dive into local life, explore cities, and when you can ride your bike middle of December while it's freezing or snowing or it's rutschig or everything in between, and you still enjoy riding your bike, then welcome. You are now a German. The best way to celebrate Tanzenden Mai is to talk about romance and talk about couples and, of course, talk about how to come to Germany and still have faith in love. And for that matter, we have Tapas and Kate. And both of them, they're just created their new app and we're just happy to know all about them. Welcome to Expat Berlin.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us.
So Tapas, or Kat, please tell us a little bit about why couples need therapy.
Well, maybe I can respond this question because I'm a sex and relationship therapist. Normally what happens in the couples that they accumulate a lot of small tensions over a long period of time. So if you look at the statistics, you will see that before going to therapy, a couple spends on average 3 years. So it means 3 years of suffering, 3 years of long conflicts lingering somewhere in the background or actually showing up to the couple. And by the time they decide to go to the therapy, it's already a very heavy business to resolve.
That's a toddler.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That's a toddler. The problem is already 3 years old. It's a toddler.
Exactly. And it is growing. You know, with time, it just becomes harsh to resolve because there's so much frustration and resentment. And then at some point, the couple understands that, oh, they need some help from someone else. And that's the moment when they decide to go to therapy. And only lucky ones to end up doing therapy because therapy costs a lot. It's not available easily. You need to find your perfect match with a therapist. So there is a lot of hustle around it. But those who end up in therapy see wonderful results.
And this is exactly the point that we need to go to your app. So maybe Tapas can tell us a little bit about the app.
Sure. So I was working on this idea early last year, and it came from my own kind of personal experiences. And then I'd done a lot of couples therapy myself. I'd been on the other end a lot. And so I met Kat, and then we came up with this kind of framework where in therapy, therapists use these guided conversations. They guide a couple through their hard topic and to point of clarity and to point of understanding and then to a point of resolution. And we thought that, you know, therapy is so less used. It's so effective, but so few people use it. So could we create that whole experience, that whole environment of couples therapy and turn it into an app so more people could access it? So Relatable Night Now is a space that couples or a partner in a relationship can use to guide through a conversation or to guide through a self-reflection and figure out what's really ailing their relationship, what are they struggling from, and what's really going on, and even get next steps. So the app is built on top of an AI as well. You speak to the app and the app gives you real-time feedback and helps you get to a point of clarity.
So it's not only about not taking the trash out at night. It's deeper than that.
It could get deeper than that, yeah, for sure.
Of course.
It's all small or big tensions that can be brought to Relatable app and actually sorted out.
We're back with Tapas and Kat. From Relatable. They've been creating this company, well, this app, and one of you is based in Berlin and the other one in Paris. How has it been for you trying to understand also the difference between living in France and living in Germany? Have you talked about the difference between both of the cities, both of the countries? Is that something that has affected the way that you have created this app?
Well, not the app itself, but mostly we were spending a lot of time figuring out some administrative and legal implications for our company to be based in Germany versus to be based in France. And there are slight differences in how you pay taxes, how you pay salaries. So this is something really that we needed to dig into, and there are still a lot of outstanding questions. Which one is better? Which one is easier? Knowing that German bureaucracy can be complicated and French bureaucracy can be as much complicated as the German one. So yeah, it's just a questioning in process.
What phase of the founding are you are at the moment?
We've been testing our app in beta phase over the end of last year and also the first few months of this year. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, we silently rolled our app out on both the stores, App Store and Play Store. So we are live testing right now, you could say. And we're receiving a lot of feedback from users and we are iterating it right now. It's free to use right now. And yeah, we're just ironing out final pieces before we roll out a paid version as well.
So at the moment, anybody who has an iPhone or an Android, just a cell phone, they can download it and then they can just go put their name, forename, whatever it is, and then they will get some questions.
Right.
They will get some guidance from the app, so they can just search for Relatable for Couples on App Store or Google Play. Just download it and the app will guide you in both cases. Either you are alone or you are with your partner.
Yeah, I do want to mention that there's right now two Relatable apps. One has a green logo and another has a blue logo. So go for the blue logo. You're going to make more changes to make it more clear which is our app. But right now, that's the case.
I actually had to check, but I think I do have the... Yes, I do. It is a beautiful blue logo with a EL on it in beautiful handwriting. So check out that, because I think the other one is for a food or something like that. But check out that first. Quick question. Are you also thinking about doing something for singles?
There are some experiments we're doing right now.
I'm just saying that because in theory, Germany, and especially in Berlin, there are more than 50% singles.
Absolutely. We are aware of that market and we are aware of how just having dating apps doesn't solve the problem. There's more that's needed and we're working on that for sure.
What are the main problems as a couple? I mean, everybody says that it's communication, but how can we understand what is the problem on communicating with the partner?
Well, you need to look at the cycle of your conflicts, how they happen, what your triggers are, what are emotions that appear in those moments, what is the story or interpretation that you are getting from the situation? So what's the imagination in your head about the situation? And then you need to observe your own behavior, your reactions in the partnership. And so if you study all these like little elements, you will see exactly where problems come in a couple. Sometimes it's very specific triggers that really set you on fire. And sometimes it's just overwhelming emotions like anger or deep frustration or fear to lose the relationship. And those emotions will also dictate how you behave, because we have a lot of automatic reactions and behaviors. So all these elements, and that's what we do in therapy, we really dig into them to understand where the couple can act and where the couple can really unlock different types of reactions and manage better their emotions and be kinder and more compassionate towards each other.
Yeah, exactly what Kat said. And I had a couple of things I wanted to add to that, which was this research, there's very comprehensive research that says that almost 69% of issues that couples have are actually not solvable at all. They arise from differences in values and personalities, etc. But a lot of couples spend a lot of time fighting over these things, these perpetual issues that causes a lot of stress. So how the couples manage that stress? Because fights happen. Fights happen in any two people that collaborate. But how do you manage them? How do you recover from them? How fast you repair them? How do you get back to normalcy? That also defines how successful a couple is. So that's something also we focus on. Like, how well do couples connect together after talking about something hard?
During your research, in order to create this app, have you found any differences between cultures regarding couples that are arguing about a specific or a given situation, that it's more of a cultural thing?
Well, I see it in therapy, mostly the family history and the culture that was in the root family of each partner is very frequently brought in the relationship. And this really impacts some beliefs and some behavior and some also priorities that each person brings into relationship. And we can name all the topics, starting with money, sexuality, raising kids. And that's exactly where the tension might happen. But that's also where the beauty can come out of if the couple discusses all these polarities and all these frictions in a constructive and a calm way. But indeed, there are differences, cultural differences and family differences in a lot of people.
We're here with Tapas and Kat. And this next part of the interview, I would love to know a little bit about how you came up with A, doing relatable. B, how did it come for you to start focusing yourselves on issues between a couple? I'm just going to put this under context. As someone who comes from Latin America, I was really expecting to get flowers at least once a month. And that was kind of my thing. And when I arrived in Germany, I thought that, oh, that is also a thing here. And that is one of the things that I needed to say to my German boyfriend. Like, I expect flowers. And he was just like, I'm just going to do that if I do something bad. And that, to be honest, started and spiraled in a very interesting situation. But at least I had the chance to express what I needed. And being in this German-Mexican relationship made me realize that there are a lot of things that we don't talk about, and that maybe it's good if we could talk about that. So I'm putting this as a context, and I'm very sure, because both of you are saying yes with your hats, what are your experiences there?
So 4 years ago, it's a bit of a downer. We'll go up from here. Yeah, it's a bit of a low point in the story. So 4 years ago, I went through a divorce. And that experience really completely shook my core. And I took a long time to heal from it. And I think the pain never truly went away, but I took a long time to heal from it. And I realized that, you know, I couldn't have controlled the outcome of it, but I think there are better ways to navigate the stress. Like, I didn't have to go through so much stress through it. And also my ex-wife, we both were very, very stressed through that process. And as I reflected more on it, I came up with some ideas and experiments before Relatable. I had a little card game that helped people talk to each other and talk about meaningful things and talk about nice things and things that matter. And then I moved to Relatable and I had this idea that, like, why can't therapy be more accessible? How can more people access it? It's so helpful. And that's when I met Kat. And I met Kat at a point where I kind of decided that it was a mission for me that, like, something has to be done about this. It has to be more accessible. Almost 780 million couples suffer from this stress worldwide and something needs to be done. So that was the source of inspiration for this app for me. And I met Kat. At the same time, I had also been working on my current relationship. I had met my girlfriend 4 years ago. I met her on Tinder in Berlin, which is very surprising because we're still together 4 years later and we're engaged now. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And this has been such a transformative journey for me as well, personally, working on this, working on my relationship, all of that.
I always have to celebrate that a lot when I hear that people are still finding love in Berlin. And there, always have to say that, yeah, there's still hope outside. There's still hope outside. So congratulations once again. And it's great that you can kind of experience that firsthand, that how your product actually works. How about you, Kate?
Yeah, just to continue on this situation that you described with the flowers, it's interesting that sometimes it's not that we need actual flowers. We need something else. We need to be seen, valued. It's almost like a message. I appreciate being in relationship with you. That's why I give you these flowers. And this is kind of also a culture that I was bringing myself with me in France, because I'm an immigrant. And I brought a lot of gender roles and beliefs around what a man does, what a woman does, because I'm originally from Russia and it's a very gendered culture. So being in France, I also needed to question everything, to deconstruct everything and to realign again with myself. What is it actually I need in a relationship? But all this makes a perfect conversation, a perfect example to bring to Relatable and talk it through with your partner. As soon as you have like little differences, little frictions, it's the moment to really go and deeply talk about those, because sometimes behind them there are real gaps in values, but sometimes it's just a little twist that you need to do to realign and move forward as a couple.
I think the relationship that you can have with a couple has 100% to do with the way that you are and how self-reflective you are. And I bet that doing this project has also made you realize a lot of things about yourselves.
It is definitely true. Our relationships with our partners have evolved, but also Kat and I have gone through our ups and downs. And it is a relationship that also evolves. We are faced with a lot and it's very rich, this whole project.
We should definitely start doing something to fix our relationship with Berlin or with Germany or the whole migration process, to be honest. So think about that for the next app.
Oh, wow. that would be epic.
Guys, thank you so much. Once again, where can we find Relatable and how we can find you?
Well, you could go on the App Store or the Play Store and look for Relatable. It's called Relatable for Couples and it's got a blue logo. And if you want to learn more about what the app is about, how does it work, etc., you could go to our website, relatable.love.
And if you are into Instagram and social networks, please find relatable.love.app. So yeah, you can follow us and get also some tips on relationships.
Perfect. Thank you so very much. I will still have hope that I will need it because I have a boyfriend at some point in the next couple of years. So I will need your app. Again, this is me trying to be very hopeful about finding a partner. Thank you guys so much for being today with us. I hope to see you very soon and have a conversation with you about how it's going in the next months with Relatable.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Use Relatable.
Laws 49. Ask a German.
I mean, one question was that, what is the origin of eating ice cream in all weathers? Why is ice cream so popular even in freezing winter? People are freezing, queues, dogs are shaking, but ice cream must be had.
I think this is a question that tends to divide opinions, even among Germans themselves. Why on earth would people eat ice cream in the middle of winter? It might sound strange if you come from a place where ice cream is strictly reserved for hot summer days. But in Germany, it's not unusual to see someone happily licking a cone while wearing gloves and a scarf. And I can say myself, yes, this actually does happen. I never forget visiting my grandpa in a freezing little Bavarian town one December. Snow on the ground, temperatures around zero, and yet there he was with my sister, both of them happily eating ice cream. Meanwhile, I stood there, a sugar-loving child, thinking, are they crazy? Turns out, maybe not. For starters, eating ice cream in the winter actually comes with some advantages. I think we've all had that sharp brain freeze from eating your scoop too fast on a sweltering summer day. That's far less likely in winter. No need to race against the melting clock. Your ice cream isn't going anywhere. In fact, in some cases, it might even freeze a little more before you finish it. Then there's of course the creativity of German ice cream makers. Germany has a long-standing love for ice cream, and it shows in the variety of options, from spaghetti ice to Dubai chocolate. There is no shortage of wild, whimsical flavors. So why limit all that imagination to one season? In fact, winter opens up a whole new flavor palette. Imagine rich scoops of Lebkuchen, roasted almond, mulled wine, or even baked apple. Many ice cream shops now offer seasonal specials that make the winter ice cream experience a treat in its own right. Plus, let's be honest, Germans do love a bit of ritual. And if your Sunday stroll includes stopping at your favorite ice cafe, why should that change just because the temperature drops? Of course, not every German is on board. Some think it's just wrong. Cold dessert in cold weather, nein danke. But for many, it's just one more reason not to let winter get in the way of life's little pleasures. So there you have it. Ice cream in winter? In Germany, it's not just possible. It is even part of the culture.
That's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. A huge thank you to Kate and Tapas from Relatable for joining us and sharing their thoughtful approach to navigating conflict with more calm and clarity, something I'm very sure we all probably need a little bit more of. Thank you also to Marlene for making this episode happen. We hope today's show gave you some fresh perspectives, and if you miss anything or you want to dive deeper, head to our website for more stories, interviews, and updates. And of course, if you have any questions for our German community, you know, Hermann the German is always there, so ask a German. And of course, we'll be back next week with more voices, ideas, and inspiration from Berlin's international community. Until then, take care, stay curious, and maybe dust off that bike. Hasta la próxima.